here we go, folks. Welcome to Inside Middle Tennessee. Sarah, by the way, thank you for filling in for me last week.
Not a problem.
I was in the sunny confines of Florida.
Sarah Elizabeth told him that she said he's on assignment. So we thought you'd come back with some scorching news story.
Yes, I do have one. It was nice and sunny and 75 degrees the whole time down in Florida.
How lovely.
You know, I have to do that. You know, I have to kind of eliminate my sad, that seasonal affective depression that builds up during January and February around here when it's a gloomy day, kind of like today.
Yeah, we've had numerous these gloomy days.
Yes, gloomy days.
You know, one thing that's good so far, and I know Scott will appreciate this considering he's got livestock, is at this point we are 4 inches ahead in rainfall. Whereas last year, we ended up, I think, 9 inches under.
Yeah, we were way behind.
The southeast United States, especially in Maury County, we did hit severe drought status.
Yes.
For, I think it was 4 months at the end of the year. And now we've made that up. So we're starting off the new year very well. And this is all great. It helps us out right now. But once the ponds are full, it's runoff.
Right? Yeah.
What we need is that constant rain throughout the year to make sure the hay fields, make sure the crops get what they need so that we can have these good bumper crops. I know right now that hay is getting a little thin.
It is. At our house, it is.
There wasn't a great hay crop. So we are all looking forward to the greenery that shows back up. Because once the cows get to eat green, they're not going to eat hay.
No.
And so this is a...
First cut comes in about what, April?
May.
It depends on the weather. Depends on the weather.
You could cut at the end of April.
So far, it's been a very good grass growing season in 2024. We just need to continue it, and we don't need to be talking in August and September when it's a dust bowl around here. So the longer the pastures can stay green in the fall, the better off it is on hay production. So, there you go.
Well, the other good news along that line, and this is based on it nationally, is that the far west is getting a lot of rainfall, whereas after about the last couple of years, they've been pretty dry. Now, California, we know, has been kind of hit with storms. But I'm talking about Nevada and Colorado. All those places are getting rainfall, and it might fill up some of those rivers and lakes that the agriculture out there depends on, we get so much of our food
from
there.
It's not the rainfall also, Jim. Is when you get into the higher elevations, it's the snowpack. Because as the snowpack melts, that starts feeding all the tributaries and streams for all of the spawning of the fish and all that. So it's in a great design, you know what I mean? that everything all works together.
I believe the Lord knows all about that.
He was probably sitting up there going, okay, I need to have this area up in Montana get a lot of snow so it feeds the Missouri River Basin, right?
But all things work together.
Well, the great Colorado is the one that needs it.
Now the thing, and to be considerate of our northern neighbors, right, they're going through blizzard conditions now.
It 10 feet of snow.
Right? We're not talking like they're getting 4 or 5 inches of snow. They're measuring their snow in feet.
Oh, yeah.
In feet.
We would never move again. If it snowed 10 feet in Maury County, we'd just close down civilization. There'd be no bread.
They'd find a way to get bread and milk out of Kroger, though.
There'd be no bread and milk in the whole county.
So, just keep in mind that we live in a very blessed area here. Now, we do have tornado season coming.
Yes,
we know
it's coming. And it's always around Mule Day when it comes.
But we live in a very, I mean, if you do like the winter, we have some winter.
Mm-hmm.
If you do like the summer, we have a lot of it. And we still have our spring and our fall. It's very beautiful.
We see all the seasons.
We see them all here. So we're very blessed.
Yes.
So,
Scott, my secretary is from Wisconsin. And I tell her all, she's been living here as a result of GM for the last 30 or 40 years and loves it.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes back to Wisconsin on occasion. But as she talked about, the greatest thing about Middle Tennessee is that you're far enough south to where you're really not going to have to contend with much snow, but you're far enough north to have a change of seasons.
Yes. Yeah. And so that's why, and once again, one of the reasons why we're so popular is, one, we're halfway from everywhere. And
you're a day's drive, I think, from 85% of the population of the United States.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And so it's a very, well, we know why people move here.
Yes.
Because everybody in Tennessee is so nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to mention.
Most of the time.
How many of them do you want to be within a day's drive?
All right, Delk, calm down. This is not Three Dudes with a View here.
We like green spaces as well. So.
And maybe we could work a deal out with Alabama to annex some property going down to the beach, you know, and we could just have beach access for Tennesseans.
Yeah, that would work.
You know, so that would work.
They could put in a monorail.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
We could get to the beach in just a few hours.
You know what's very interesting in Tennessee is, you know, if you go up towards Knoxville through the plateau, and you head on up to Johnson City, the trees and everything changes, right? So, mm-hmm. And if you head west towards Memphis, you get into more of an agricultural base. And so you have all these different things that make Tennessee so unique. And if you got to have the big city like Zsa Zsa Gabor needed to have in Green Acres, you have it, right?
Yeah.
And so it's just, you know, I've traveled.
It just points out why there's three grand divisions.
Yes.
And the reason why they're called grand divisions, because they are.
Yes.
Yeah. They are grand.
Yeah. But, you know, with such a wide expanse, Tennessee is such a wide state, it would be difficult to say one particular lifestyle or one particular mindset would be typical of Tennessee, because we go from one extreme to the other.
No, and that's true.
And it's all and it's different. Our friends in East Tennessee have always commented they didn't understand why we did double names in Middle Tennessee.
Yeah.
Because, like, Ellie Grace, and then my best friend has a child named Mary Hazel. And
well, we almost have more in common with Northern Alabama and Mississippi than we do East Tennessee as far as the culture goes.
Yeah, and that would be true of the people in the nearest Kentucky. They'd have more in common with those Kentuckians in Ohio because they're just over the line.
Well, Louisville and Lexington might as well be part of all that. You know, one stat I heard I thought was always very interesting, and I even checked it out on a map because I didn't believe it when I heard. But if you're in Bristol, Tennessee, you are closer to the Canadian border than you are Memphis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I declare.
Yeah. And next, pull out a map and look at that.
I declare. Well, I'll have to look that
They don't up. Say I declared East in East Tennessee.
No.
Here's the problem right now is Delk doesn't know how to handle this because his shows normally start off with putting on the Kevlar vest and stuff. So he's just sitting like, he's in a foreign country right now.
On Friday, we make peace.
And we
there
make
we
peace.
Go.
It's because you don't talk to him. You go home.
Let me introduce the players. I'm Jim Ross. We got Delk Kennedy, owner-operator, Kennedy Broadcasting Company.
Good morning, Jim.
On the board, Representative Scott Sapicki.
Good morning, everybody.
And our dynamic duo.
Good morning.
Sheila
Good
Hickman
morning.
And Sarah Elizabeth Hickman McLeod. So Coach James Dickinson, I'm sure, will probably wander in here in a little bit, we hope.
You know what? By the way.
Uh-oh.
Kennedy Sports Booking had to... Ellie DeGreek was right on the money against Tennessee, Alabama.
Yeah.
She picked the winner.
See what? We watched
it. You have to talk to Drake about all that.
That's his field, man.
Yeah, until Drake comes on, at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock?
4 o'clock today.
Yeah, 4 o'clock
this station. Yeah.
So we may have to have Ellie come on pretty regularly here to give people their tips, right?
Yeah.
So they can start to place bets here.
Well, she has to be
well Drake likes
right
to talk
now.
About his magic 8-ball, but he's got nothing on Ellie.
No. No, we watched the game, and she said, I predicted that. I said, yes, you did.
Well, now, speaking of which, Tennessee finishes up their season at home against Kentucky tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's on at 3 o'clock. It's going to be broadcast on 103.7 here on WKRM radio. One of the things I love to do, I watch it on TV, and I mute the TV, and I turn on the radio.
That's what Sean McLeod does.
Now, you got to get used to the fact that the radio is a little quicker.
Yeah,
but you can get used to that after a while. Mm-hmm. But Bob Kessley and Bert Bertelkamp know so much more about our players and what's going on.
Oh, yeah. That makes it so much better.
Than whoever they assign to them nationally who's never seen them before. But everybody's worried about Tennessee might have a letdown now that they have won outright for the first time since, I think, 2008 or 13, probably 13. That they have won the regular season championship, and they're afraid they just may tank it. They're not going to tank it. And there's several reasons why they won't tank it. One of them is, guess who they're playing? Mm-hmm. We just talked about it. Kentucky.
Yeah.
And other than maybe Alabama, that's their biggest rival.
That is.
You know,
this Kentucky game for Kentucky is going to be a barometer of where they are for the tournament.
Yeah.
So the Wildcats are going to treat this as a tournament game because they got to see where they are. And Tennessee, you know, they don't want to have Kentucky come into their place and beat them. So
that's another reason. Tennessee does not want to lose their last game at home.
Oh, that's be bad.
So,
you know, they want the momentum. In fact, come to think of it, Scott, Tennessee is just hotter than a $2 pistol right now.
I love that expression.
Oh yeah, Johnny Paycheck used it in a song. We got Dalton Connect, who is literally a superstar and a lot of fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to be
But remember, it comes down to that tournament. Your season, you can win the SEC championship, but unless you win the big tournament.
True.
It doesn't matter.
True.
It doesn't. You got to win. When you are this good of a basketball team, you got to put it together in the tournament and make a run.
Now, to be fair to Kentucky,
because they're looking at a number one seed right now. If they can win the SEC championship tournament, they're probably a number one seed.
I don't think there's any doubt that. I think they could go to the finals and still be a number one seed, but I think they need to get to probably the finals on that. Mm-hmm. Kentucky, to be fair to Kentucky, Kentucky is still one of those teams, it's typical Calipari, they can either look like a Final Four team and blow you out of the gym, or they can look awful.
True.
And there are a Jekyll and Hyde team like nobody's business.
Well, you got to look at the tournament, the SEC tournament, to see if Auburn and Kentucky wind up on the other side of the bracket from Tennessee,
yeah,
or do they get one of them or both of them on their side?
Yeah.
That could be, because Auburn and Kentucky are probably the two other best teams in the SEC.
Yeah.
Alabama's good, but Auburn and Kentucky are going to be the other ones that can challenge Tennessee. But it's important. I mean, if you want to lock up that number one seed, win the tournament.
Well, I will put Auburn up there as much as anything. And the reason being is Auburn, unlike Kentucky and Alabama, plays defense.
Yes, they do.
And Tennessee has gotten where they've gotten because they've got a good offensive team, but because they can play defense.
Yeah. So.
And so it's been really, really good from that standpoint. What else we got going on?
We need to take a break, Doug.
Are we close to a break?
We can break now if y'all want to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's break. Here we go.
Hey, the bosses say we got to take a break. We'll be right back with Inside Middle Tennessee.
Buicks of today are among the most dependable and luxurious vehicles in America, and Parks Motor Sales has them all. Find excellent deals on the Buick LaCrosse, Cascada, and Regal. Parks has SUVs, the Encore, Enclave, and Envision. Their exceptional staff can help you find your best fit with financing for your budget. For a vehicle that has everything, experience the new Buick. For a dealer that has everything, experience Parks Motor Sales. Visit 919 Nashville Highway or Parks Motor Sales.
Hello, I'm Barbara Lincoln with Holland's Pharmacy. You may have heard our previous commercials about compression hosiery that we carry at Holland's Pharmacy. Well, we've recently expanded into a full line of knee braces, back, wrist, ankle, and other support wear. We will gladly help you get just the right fit for these items and, of course, special order items to ensure the proper fit. Come see us at Holland's Pharmacy, 1608 Hatcher Lane, or call us at 931-388-4233. 388-4233.
Hi, I'm Steve, the Garbage Man. Over 10 years ago, the Garbage Man Incorporated teamed up with former County Commissioner Mr. Glenn Hasse and Keep Murray County Beautiful to provide garbage service for the 8 boat ramps. The county brought in signs and posts, and we provided the carts and weekly service. The Garbage Man Incorporated is proud to be a part of furnishing a much-needed service to the boaters of Murray County. We live in Murray County, too, and are proud to be good corporate citizens. We encourage you to use and enjoy this convenience and keep the Duck River beautiful.
American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is built to a higher standard, so you can focus on the problems in your life that actually matter, like the stair that only creaks when everyone else in the house is asleep. American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, built to a higher standard.
Call Davis Heating and Cooling at 931-388-2090 for all your home comfort needs. Davis Heating and Cooling is your local American Standard dealer and proudly serves the Murray County area. Find Davis Heating and Cooling online and on Facebook or call today, 388-2090.
Hi, this is Dr. Tui from the Dr. Gill Center. Has your back been bothering you for years? Can't play golf, pick up the grandkids, garden or exercise? Tried everything and nothing works? Call the Dr. Gill Center. We have successfully helped tens of thousands of patients in Middle Tennessee, and you could be next. Call 615-880-9774 and ask about our $49 special. That's 615-880-9774. Because back pain doesn't need to be a way of life. Call me, painfree.com.
For 40 years, the Jewelers Bench has worked hard for their customers and provided the highest quality jewelry at the best price. They keep going back. Recent renovations have allowed them to expand their inventory. More high-quality jewelry, custom vintage and estate pieces, and professional jewelry and watch repairs. They also buy gold. The Jewelers Bench. Still here, still great service. 808 Trotwood Avenue, Columbia.
Hello, my name is Connor Mims. My wife Bradley and I live in Columbia, Tennessee in Riverside. I am a deck and porch builder and my wife is a second grade teacher at Riverside Elementary. My specialty is designing and building elegant and comfortable porches and decks. Let me work with you to design and build the porch or deck of your dreams. Give us a call today from our website, MimsModernLandscape.com. That's MimsModernLandscape.com, and check out what we have to offer. Thanks.
Hey, this is Seth Moss at Tennessee Valley Equipment, a premier FAE Primetech, Bandit, and Shurex dealer. We are your dealer for all of your land clearing and forestry mulching needs. We sell equipment, provide repair service, and parts along with a rental fleet of mulching equipment. We also offer mulching teeth, blades, and sharpening. Our number one priority is getting you up and running as quickly and affordable as possible. Tennessee Valley is located at 300 Santa Fe Pike in wonderful Columbia, Tennessee. Stop by or give us a call today at 931-981-9812.
The generations that have paved the way for us deserve respect, integrity, and compassion. This is Kelly Dobson, owner of Caring Hearts Home Healthcare. My grandmother and mother started this business in 2005, and I was honored to take over in 2012. Licensed and insured, we help our aging community stay in the comfort of their own homes. Online at CaringHeartsHomeHealthcareLLC.com, by phone 931-381-5470, or in person at 1121 Trotwood Avenue here in Columbia. That's Caring Hearts Home Healthcare.
Life gets busy, and sometimes slowing down to buy your family quality food can seem impossible. This is Terry Taylor with Taylor Family Farm, and we offer local home delivery in addition to our local drop locations to help with that problem. Now you can get your favorite pastured poultry, pork, and grass-fed beef delivered right to your door. Visit TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com to find out how. We believe in healthy food, healthy people, and healthy community at Taylor Family Farm.
The Mules are back in town. Celebrate Mule Day's 50th anniversary, April 4th to 7th in downtown Columbia. All of your favorite Mule Day events are back. Jackpot mule races, log pulling, state auctioneers contest, Miss Mule Day pageant, the driving and gated mule shows, liars contest, and so much more. Don't miss the Mule Day parade, 11 a.m. Saturday, April 6th. Mule Day's 50th anniversary, April 4th through the 7th in downtown Columbia. Visit MuleDay.com for a complete schedule of events.
And we're back with Inside Middle Tennessee, and Sarah Elizabeth is on her phone.
I'm looking. I had something pull up.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So the history moment today is International Women's Day.
I thought every day was International Women's Day.
That's according to if you get to go shopping.
I'm going to say I was married, had three daughters, even my pets were all female.
You have always been outnumbered.
Oh, Lord have mercy, have I? I'm not just outnumbered, ganged up on.
Yes.
Yeah, usually.
Well, Mr. Hickman's about like that.
Yeah,
That's true. Thank God he's got a son-in-law, Sean.
And Sean is a fine fella. He's like, he's outnumbered hopelessly. But sometimes Sean is such an easygoing fella. Sometimes he just nods his head and goes on.
He does. It's also Women's History Month. So, but International Women's Day is a global celebration of economic, political, and social achievements of women. And it took place for the first time on March the 8th, 1911. Mm-hmm.
Even before the vote.
Before the suffrage. So, but today is that day, and you're supposed to recognize women and their achievements without, any regards to their divisions or national or ethnic or anything like that. So get into Title VI there. If anybody knows about federal grants, you know about Title VI. But anyway, I thought that would be neat to talk about that today, as well as some local women's history. But the Women's History Month theme this year, it's always a theme. It's picked by the National Women's History Alliance. And this one, the 2024 theme celebrates women who advocate for equity, diversity, and inclusion. So,
that sounds very modern.
That does sound very modern. So, but a few years ago, for Women's History Month, I looked up the suffrage movement in Murray County.
Oh, this is okay. One of the best ones she ever did.
So, the campaign for women's suffrage started decades before the Civil War, but we often don't think that local people took an active part in national issues. But in 1915, a group of ladies created the Equal Suffrage League that was affiliated with the National Suffrage League and the Suffrage Association of Tennessee. Their first president was Miss Frederick Hardy. Now, all of these names are Mrs. whoever your husband is.
Yeah.
That's just, I tell Mary Susan, I say, your name is Mrs. Mary Susan Kennedy.
Yes.
Yeah. No, my name is Mr. Mary Susan Kennedy. Yeah.
See, Sean McCloud.
You're learning.
Would say,
you're learning,
Sean
Dale.
McCloud would say the thing. He is Mrs. Sarah Elizabeth Hickman McCloud. That is so funny.
Finally, it took me a minute to get that adjusted.
No, you tell
my name
you.
Is
with
Mr.
You, Dale.
Mary Susan Kennedy.
You need to tell Sean, because we know who rules the roost, he's Mr. Ellie Grace McCloud.
Yeah.
That's who he is.
She gets mad at him. He is Sean Robert McCloud, and it's quite hilarious. So, but anyway, so the first president was Miss Frederick Hardy, and the membership reached 100 women in 1915. They held their meetings in the Bethel Hotel, which was on the corner down here where the bank is.
That's a big chunk of women for Murray County in 1915.
In 1915.
That's equivalent of about having about 500 show up now.
They had come to town.
They always had a program with speakers and that discussed women's suffrage on the monthly basis. So these 100 women got together every month to talk about it. One month they had two speakers, and the speakers were introduced by the Herald editor, Mr. J.I. Finney.
Uh-huh. Oh.
That's my great granddad.
Yes.
Yeah.
He said that no one can know, I'm directly quoting him, Delk. He said that no one could longer seriously question the fundamental right of justice of the women's claim to the ballot. He assured them if they could convince the men that they were earnest in their desires for the ballot, then it would be ratified in the state. So, and I love reading the newspaper from your family, Delk, because your great-grandfather always had an editorial or something in the paper telling about what was going on or his opinion about what was going on. And it's really cool to see the how things were going around that time.
Sheila and I remember very well Delk's father, Sam Kennedy, doing the barrister's bit. Remember that?
Yes.
And, you know, Ms. Aiken, of course, Ms. Aiken loved your family so much, Miss Margaret Dane from Hampshire, and she'd say, Sam's column's just getting better and better.
But some of the women that were a part of the Suffrage League were there. Now, there is some women that are by their first name. Miss Caroline Williams, Mrs. D.D. Little, Mrs. Robert C. Church, Mrs. Robert E. Nichols, Mrs. W.P. Morgan, Mrs. John Martin, Miss Irene Sile, Miss Easton Littlefield, Mrs. Hugh Lee Webster, Mrs. F.O. Darberry, and Mrs. A.E. Sheldon, and others. These family names are still familiar in Murray County and
those
places.
Yeah, Murray County names.
So the group attended the May Day Parade in Nashville in 1916, and they rode in an automobile with the banner Columbia Equal Suffrage League and considered it a very successful trip. In the letter to the editor in March of 1917, so you got to think of what is happening toward the end of the war.
Yeah.
So there was a question whether women could vote in the primary here. and Mrs. S.W. Warfield of Beach Lawn, which is a historic house here in town, said...
Does tell everybody where Beach Lawn is.
So Beach Lawn is out Pulaski Pike.
Yeah, it's out Pulaski Pike.
But yeah.
That's, Bill Fuqua lived in that house for... Yeah. Dr. Fuqua lived in that house for years. It's right past Shegog Lane on the left as you're going out.
It's a lovely house.
Yeah.
She wrote, and this is a direct quote, "Does it occur to you that women own at least 50% of the taxable real estate of this beautiful city of the dimple?" Well, they do and should have a voice in this election. If they are not allowed to vote in this primary, just put me down as a champion. Or if they are not allowed in the in this primary, just put me down as a champion for women's suffrage. So by May of 1917, the Daily Herald had published a special edition of the newspaper. If you have this in your attic, I will buy it from you. I've looked at the microfilm. I want a physical copy.
Yeah, you want
of
a fit. Now, folks, now, that wasn't part of the presentation necessarily. I mean, she's serious. If you've got something in your attic on this.
Yes, I will take it because I think this is a story that needs to be told. The newspaper devoted to the suffrage question. In addition to the 1,400 regular subscribers, that issue was sent to 3,000 others.
How about that? The power of print.
Yeah, that's a big number back then.
Yes, it is.
Well, you know, you got to put it in perspective, too. There's no TV.
No.
We do have radio to some extent, but the main news media are newspapers back then,
I love the newspapers because they also go by the community. So, like, Theta and Fly and everybody reported what was going on.
Mrs. The Henryville News.
Yes. Mrs. Such-and-such visited Mrs. Such-and-such, or they had a...
Somebody's in the hospital.
Somebody's in the hospital, or one of my favorite things I've found about my family is my great-grandmother went to a candy-breaking party, and I sat there for a minute, and all I've
ever... Or the women's book club.
Oh, yeah. All I ever thought of my great-grandmother is this older lady that lived at the farm. I never met her, but from the stories of my family, she was an older woman, and that's all I could picture, She was a teenager at that time.
She was quite an equestrian.
Yeah.
She had four sisters, I think that's right, and they all had their own side saddle.
That was made in Theta.
Their pappy.
Bill Glenn would be proud of that.
Yes.
We have one.
We have one in my office.
But she said they would just ride all day.
Yeah.
They just get on those, just ride all day, ride all over.
Yeah. Well, again, that's main mode of transportation, too.
Moving on.
Sorry about that.
It's our typical tangent.
In August 1919, there were 198 women of Maury County registered to vote.
Okay.
So to put this in perspective, the total registration at 8 voting places are 126 at the courthouse, 24 women in Mount Pleasant, 6 at the stockyards, 5 at Kedron, and no women at Sandy Hook, Spring Hill, Rally Hill, or Neapolis. After some of the women had registered to vote, Miss Carrie Little, secretary of the Equal Suffrage League, wrote a letter of appreciation in the newspaper for women having a place at the polls. In stark contrast, we just talked about my great-grandmother, Nevada Pearl Shote Hutcherson. She would not register to vote when she could have out of respect for her father, who believed that women did not have a place in politics.
Oh, she'd say, "Have you voted?" And I said, "Granny, you know I voted." She said, "Pappy did not think women should have the vote, and so out of respect to him, I have never voted." I said, "I'm going to vote. You just watch me."
Good.
But in 1919, as we all know, the Susan B. Anthony Amendment was proposed to the House, and the measure passed 304-89, and 2 weeks later, the Senate passed the 19th Amendment by 56-25 vote. It was then sent to the states for ratification. By March 1920, 35 states had ratified the 19th Amendment, and it was up to Tennessee to make it
official.
They had to convince Governor Roberts to call a special session of the legislature. As we all know, that's a big thing. he was against women's suffrage. When Governor Roberts announced that he would convene the General Assembly, he set off one of the most heated political battles in Tennessee history. I would argue that the battle going on right now about education is a heated battle.
Give it a rival. Like.
Yeah. The suffragists and anti-suffragists descended on Nashville, and the Hermitage Hotel became their headquarters. The Tennessee Senate was solidified by a pro-suffrage and ratified the amendment 4 days after being convened. The House delayed. The Speaker of the House, Walker, rained support on the eve of the session and to postpone the vote. Postponing votes. Anyway, the House debate then amendment on August 17th. The vote was scheduled for the following day. On August 18th, 1920, Tennessee tipped the scale for women's suffrage. The galleries were packed. Both sides knew the vote was too close to call, and the suffragists wore yellow roses, and the anti-suffragists wore red ones. Not only did these roses make quite a statement, but it was the equivalent of an advertisement serving a unique purpose. The prominence of one color rose of another spoke loudly to the senators and representatives about the consensus of public opinion. And they say the Hermitage Hotel was like crazy during all of that. Well, and it's still there today. It's a historic hotel. Mm-hmm. It's a national landmark.
Catty corner to the TPAC.
Yes. Yeah. It's beautiful. But a motion to table the resolution ended in a tie. The roll call began. Two votes for them, followed by four votes against. The seventh name on the list was Harry Byrne, a Republican from McMinn County. He had listed himself undecided in the suffrage poll, but little did everyone know that his mother put a note in his pocket. It said, "Dear son, hurrah and vote suffrage. Don't forget to be a good boy and help Miss Cat put the rat in ratification, your mother." When they called his name, the vote was yes, and Tennessee became the 36th out of 48 states to ratify the vote.
Which amendment was that?
The 19th. Yeah.
Yeah, well, right. Delk will tell you real quick, and as will all of us here, there's a whole lot going on.
Delk never tells anybody real quick. He's an attorney.
Yeah.
He gets paid by the word.
Yeah. But there was a whole lot going on. I mean, when the temperance movement was going on at that point in time, too.
There a spate of amendments in there, among prohibition, the income tax,
and
the direct election of senators. Arguably, the only one of them that made a damn bit of sense was the suffrage amendment.
Yes. I think
the rest of them have done immense damage to this country.
Yeah.
Delk has often said that prohibition was absolutely probably the dumbest thing we ever did nationally.
What a national aneurysm.
Debacle.
You're supposed to outlaw liquor with a local ordinance, you know. But we passed a constitutional amendment. And,
you know,
I hate to say it, but James I. Finney was in favor of it.
Do you know when prohibition started in Tennessee?
It was 1919 or so, wasn't it?
No, it started in 1910.
Okay.
And you know when it was lifted in Tennessee? 1938. Whereas federal prohibition was from 20 to 33.
Okay.
Well, my goodness.
But it was a state. You can outlaw it on the federal level or whatever, it overrides, or you can repeal it. But then it goes down to the states.
Yeah.
And there were plenty of states. Mississippi did not get rid of their prohibition until 1966.
My goodness.
And then after that, Tennessee whiskey's history has been born.
Yeah. True. Well, hey, let me tell you.
Got a moonshining.
Jack Daniels, or was it Lem Motlow, got elected to the Senate for the specific purpose of fighting prohibition and to get it lifted, and he was successful.
Victory.
Yeah. And then all Jack Daniels is started right back up again.
There we go.
Well, there's your history moment. I hope y'all enjoyed that. I want to do some more digging on this. And if you do have history, or your grandmother or great grandmother was in that list, or you know that they were a part of that and they were Murray Countyans, I'd like to see
you. And you want that edition of the paper?
I want that edition of the paper, please.
All right, folks, we got to go pay a few bills. We'll be right back with Inside Middle Tennessee.
Are you looking to turn your car into cold hard cash today? Don't look any further than Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia. You probably know us for selling cars, but did you know we're in the business of buying cars? That's right. We buy all makes and models at top dollar every day. Show up with your car and leave with cash. It's that easy. Stop by today to get a written offer on your vehicle. Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia is family owned and proud to serve our community.
You can count on us. Hi, Terry Tillis from Tillis Jewelry. When you think of diamonds, what do you think of? Rare, precious, timeless, sparkles like the sun. They are timeless and nothing like them on earth. Then do you think, where do I buy local to buy the perfect ring? Maybe a diamond pendant or earrings or maybe a new diamond band. Look no further. Tillis Jewelry carries all your diamond and jewelry needs. Stop by and see our wonderful collection. And remember, if you don't know your diamonds, know your jeweler. Tillis Jewelry, downtown Columbia.
Are you thinking about a new fence? Maybe you need a pole barn. Then you should give Sands Fence Company a call. That's 931-309-1644. Will Sands has built his business based on the principles of honesty, quality, and integrity. Sands Fence Company has been in business for over 20 years, providing the community with farm, residential, and commercial fencing, as well as pole barns and buildings. Call today for a free estimate. Sands Fence Company, 931-309-1644. 931-309-1644.
This is Mark Curry at the Trailer Store. We are a local, family-owned business. Every day, I work with my wife, Susie, my mother, Becky, and my son, Justin. We offer a full line of lawnmower trailers, utility trailers, stock trailers, and a full line of trailer parts. We also offer service. Come see us at 1021 New Lewisburg Highway. Call us at 931-381-2795. That's 931-381-2795.
Do you have trees that need trimming or removed? Do you have stumps that you want ground? A1 Tree Removal is a family-owned and operated business local to Columbia and Lewisburg and servicing surrounding Middle Tennessee. They are licensed and insured and provide free estimates. No job is too big, no tree is too small. Give old Luke a call or text Luke at 931-359-3113, or you can check them out on Facebook and tell A1 Tree Removal that you heard this ad on the radio. If you love America, you will love A1 Tree Removal.
This is Debbie Matthews with the Nashville Realty Group, and if you've been paying attention, you know the housing market has been tough, but rates are beginning to thaw. So if you're thinking about selling, the time to jump in is getting better every day. But if you're thinking about buying, and those interest rates are still a little bit too high, a good agent knows how to negotiate interest rate buy-downs, and I'm a good agent. So call me, Debbie Matthews with Nashville Realty Group, 615-476-3224.
Fun is in full bloom, Tennessee, and the multiplier instant games are buzzing in. These colorful tickets offer chances to multiply your wins 10, 20, 50, and even 100 times. It's a beautiful day for bigger and bigger prizes, and they're ripe for the picking right now. Find the multiplier instant games today at your nearest Tennessee Lottery retailer, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
This responsible gaming message is brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery. When you play the lottery, it's important to play responsibly. Know your limit and spend only what you can afford. Set a budget and stick to it. And remember, as long as you're having fun, you're always a winner in our book. The Tennessee Lottery is a proud supporter of National Problem Gambling Awareness Month. To learn more about problem gambling resources, visit tnlottery.com.
And we're back with Inside Middle Tennessee. Some of the off-air
never
conversations
be,
no, that we have.
No.
Oh, they're a lot of fun.
They're fun. That's the reason I wasn't supposed to come all the time, but I had so much fun, I decided I might miss something. I'd miss some revelation of truth that I would not have known otherwise.
Well, we need your input on all this. Well, that's why you're here. Here we go.
So, very important announcement, Delk, so I may let you know in on this too. We have our appropriation request form for our nonprofits every year locally that they can make a request of the General Assembly for grants. So we have that. That window has opened up. It closes March 15th. It's a very short window here. If you need to make a request of the General Assembly as a 501c3 for a grant, please contact my office. The number is 615-741-3005. Jan will answer the phone. Ask her for the appropriation request form, and you have to have it back to us before March 15th because I have to have the request drafted. It takes me about 2 days to get it drafted. So please, if you have a request as a nonprofit in Maury County, in District 64, Yeah, remember that. I don't serve all of Maury County anymore, so Representative Capley, if you're in District 69, you would send them to him. But District 64, so 31 South, basically all of Columbia, and then Campbellsville, Pike South, everything east of that. If you're a nonprofit east of that, you should know I'm your representative by now, but I need your request form as soon as you can. Call the office, 615-741-3005. We've been pretty successful every year by getting some help to some nonprofits down here, that, and we made check presentations. So there's your public service announcement for today.
I would imagine the Polk Home would be a very worthy recipient.
Absolutely. And Hope House and stuff like that. So also, the City of Columbia and Maury County have both received tourism grants, each totaling $100,000. They'll be presented today at, I think it's 2:30. I think it's 2:30.
I think so.
Columbia is getting one for Riverwalk to have river access points, I believe it is.
Yes.
Built.
Built.
And then at Yanali, Maury County has received one to build a Blue Way access point.
So it will go. I helped with that. I'm sorry. That was one of my things.
Speak to it.
It's been we've applied for this several times, but this is the first time it was funded. So it's a Blue Way. It'll start at Yanali. You'll float down to the duck right before the dam, get out before the dam, and then you can either come downtown or whatever. Yeah. There's going to be some, like,
you're talking about the present dam in Riverside, not the one we tore out.
No. And then
and resurrected it underneath Lowe's.
Yeah. And you can get back in and either float some more all the way to Chickasaw.
Yes.
Or you can just get out and have someone pick you up, whatever. It's going to be a really cool thing when it's done. So
it'll allow people from basically the Yanali Park to float down to Duck River, get off at River Park, Riverwalk Park. There's parking right there. And then if you wanted to, you could get a ride back up and rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
And so,
or you could go downtown and shop.
Or go down and shop. So it's really neat things we're getting done.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about that.
That will be a really neat amenity added.
I can't wait to see a tourist wearing a flotation vest walk around downtown Columbia.
Well, what we'll do is we'll have to get Delk floating on the Duck River, and he'll be interviewing people as he floats down the river.
Now, he's left that to Mary Susan now, and she's doing a bang-up job with it, with her interviews.
Oh, I love y'all's commercials or interviews or whatever. I just love those.
Now, Mary Susan's gotten great on her business interviews.
So we also Senator Hensley and I are carrying the Smart Heart bill. It did it passed the Senate on Thursday. It'll be on the House floor Monday. What it does is it puts an AED, an automated electronic defibrillator, in every high school in our state. And what it does is Damar Hamlin, who with the Buffalo Bills we saw on the field die in front of us and brought back because of an AED. And a plan in place of how they were going to address that. The NFL, with the American Heart Association, came to Senator Hensley and myself. They asked us to carry this bill. So now we will have plans in every high school across the state of Tennessee in the event something like this happens. And here's what's crazy about that. Thursday, on the Senate floor, when they passed the bill, I'm not going to go into details on it to protect the individual, but there was a high school athlete on the very same time had a cardiac arrest on the field. That school already had a plan in place with an AED, resuscitated the student. He's now recovering at a hospital and going to be fine.
Wow.
So this is something that this is sometimes you get to carry and pass legislation that is not partisan.
It's a no-brainer.
It's about protecting Tennesseans, and we look forward to passing this on the House floor Monday night, bipartisan, 100% support, and send this to Governor Lee's desk so that we can get this implemented across the state of Tennessee to protect our student-athletes and our high schools.
Well, Scott, I understand there was some progress on the impact fee issue
in
Maury County.
So we have been working very hard. Delk, you know, been working hard on this for years.
I know.
The pace has really picked up over last summer. We were having meetings with the builders and realtors. The builders have come to the conclusion that yes, there needs to be something done, and so they have have a proposal to update the County Powers Relief Act. Currently, Maury County, if it passes, and it already passed a subcommittee last week, it's on to the full committee this week, and the numbers look good for us that we can get this passed out of the full committee. It takes Maury County's ability to charge an impact fee for growth on residential from 50 cents to $1.50.
That's a big jump.
And on commercial from 30 cents to $1.50.
Another big jump.
So some of these big corporations that are coming here, right, building these big, huge facilities, mm-hmm. they'll go from we'll go from being able to charge them 30 cents to now charge them $1.50 for those buildings, and that money can be used for our school maintenance, our school capital, and our school debt. Yeah. So now we have a source.
That's fantastic.
There. And then on top of that, in the House's version of the Education Freedom Act, we've also put in there that each student will generate $75 to be used for school maintenance. So there's another pot of money coming down. And so I'm trying to do the math real quick in my head, but roughly it's going to be about another $1 million for Maury County Schools that we're going to try to allocate down here to help our schools be maintained and be as current as possible.
Well, that is money well spent. Yeah.
So multiple buckets, right? Multiple buckets of trying to make sure that we have enough revenue coming down to the locals so that they can manage their facilities and keep them top notch here.
Scott, I remember hearing something that the amount of money coming down to us due to one of these is like should be right around $4 to $5 million. Yes. Is that the impact fee?
Yeah, if we're successful in getting the impact fee, it'll
come
down about $4 or $5 million there. Then you put about the $1 million on top of it from the $75, and then we also have a proposal that the state's going to bump the health insurance from 45% to 60%, which we believe in Maury County will free up an additional about $4 million in their school budget for them also.
Good.
So when you pool all this money together, I think we can hopefully free up about $10 million for Maury County and be able to use that for maintenance of our schools, which that will really take a whack out of all the stuff that needs to be fixed in Maury County and get our schools back up to where they should be.
Well, we have never had sufficient funds to keep the school buildings up. Mm-hmm. That's why they fall down, and then yeah. you have to build another one.
Now, Sheila, I'm sitting here thinking about I think one commercial HVAC system is $35,000.
And
Central High School's probably got eight of them.
Yeah.
You know, and then you multiply that by the number of schools, and you can eat up $4 to $5 million pretty quick. Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is the feeling from the General Assembly is if we can figure out a way to do this for the locals, then it prevents these property tax increases that keep hitting our growth counties over and over and over again by our county commission, that maybe we can free this money up where now they can not have to raise taxes on everybody, and then therefore those that are on fixed incomes can still afford to live in our beautiful county.
Yeah.
So there you go.
But we have long neglected yeah. our schools.
Other than that, there's nothing else going on in the General Assembly. Nothing
just,
to see.
Y'all are just sitting up there nothing, watching the clock.
Y'all just all happy slappy up there, aren't
nothing
you?
Nothing going on. We are probably 7 weeks away, 8 weeks away from being done. Looks like we're going to be there till May. The Education Freedom Act that I'm carrying for Governor Lee and Speaker Sexton on the House side. Now, you got to remember this, folks. There's two versions of this. There's the Senate version and there's the House version. And Delk, you know this as well as I do. They are totally different. They're not the same.
They're
not the same.
Significant differences.
And so whenever I'm speaking on the Education Freedom Act, I'm speaking on the House side, the things that we have in the bill to protect homeschoolers, et cetera, et cetera. So that bill did clear the Education Administration full committee, 12-7. We're going to pause it for a week because we put some amendments on it for clarifying language on some certain topics. Remember, it's a 49-section bill. And only one section applies to school choice. The other 48 sections are on public schools and how to make them better. And so we're going to pause it a week, get everything synced back up, make sure we have everything correct. And then a week from Monday, it'll be in the Government Operations Committee. And that signifies if it passes that committee, we're about halfway through the House process with at least three more weeks to go.
Yeah.
So this will be from week one. I was in the well presenting this bill for 2.5 hours. And on Wednesday, I was in the well for 4.5 hours presenting this bill. So this bill has already had, in two committees, 7 hours of debate.
Yeah.
Which is unheard of.
Yeah.
But it's good. This is a major piece of legislation to really affect our public schools in one fell swoop to transform them into the places of learning that Mrs. Hickman over here probably enjoyed when she was a teacher.
Oh, I love teaching.
So that's what we're going to get back to, and I think we're going to have to work hard, But we're going to need everybody's help to hopefully get the Senate to listen to what the House is doing.
You know, one encouraging sign that I saw this week concerning education, and Chelitz, I remember you were one of the first people that pointed it out to me, was as painful as this third grade retention mm-hmm. bill has been, but it's a matter of making people accountable and doing better by them in the future. They even reported in the newspaper now, which I think is an encouraging sign, that it needs to be pushed down further.
Yeah, it's up too high.
Yeah, down to the kindergarten mm-hmm. first graders.
Yeah.
Which I think is even better.
So that
they've got to learn to read.
Right. So that language, that K-1 and 2 part, is in my desk right now, ready to go next year.
Well, I hope they'll get done. Because you can... That someone told us recently that they don't even bother teaching reading after the third grade. I said, well, that's just an outrage. I said, right. I taught reading skills to juniors and seniors. You mm-hmm. don't ever get so sophisticated that you can't learn more about reading. And to think a 9 or 10 year old could get that done, I could just scream.
We believe on the House side of the bill that we can transform the day-to-day operational components of education, right, to free up more time for our teachers. But look for next year. There'll be a bill. Now, in our bill, we've solved the fourth grade retention part. We're not going to retain in fourth grade. They will have to go to summer school and take a tutor in fifth grade, which we believe those interventions will help. But our main focus next year...
They've proven to help so far.
That's correct. We have the highest literacy rate in third grade we've had in 15 years.
Yeah.
But what we are going to focus on is what Ms. Hickman said, is that we've got to get them early, and we've got to get them on track early. And that's what we're going to focus on. So, a lot going on.
Good.
Nothing to see here.
A lot going on, nothing to see.
Nothing to see, but a lot to question.
But please, if you're a nonprofit in Maury County District 64, please call the office, 615-741-3005. Make your request. It's going to be a relatively tight budget year, but we will do the best we can to try to find some funds for you.
Good.
Scott, do you have any... You know, it would be just a guess at this point, but if you've got any feel for what's going to happen when the Senate and the House try to reconcile their differences on the voucher bill, for lack of a better word?
Well, I think you're going to see probably the leaders on this bill, probably myself and others. We will be cast into a conference room. The door will be locked and all the food and water will be taken out. And we will stay in there until either we die or we come out with a bill that works.
They'll turn, hey, Sheila, they're going to turn the thermostat up to about 85 or 92.
No, you won't have to turn it up. You have to turn it down because it's going to get awful hot in there.
Yeah.
But that's the process, right? We've got to, we cannot pass two bills that are conflicting. They have to match. And so that's where we're going to have to figure out what they want to take out or what they want to put in and vice versa.
They being the Senate.
The Senate, and see if we can get to a place where we can get a bill passed that benefits our public schools. We are standing hard in the House on the benefits for our public schools. Hard. And there's some things in school choice about homeschoolers and stuff we are not willing to negotiate on.
Yeah.
And so we've got to figure out, does the Senate really want to fight this battle, or do they believe that what we're proposing, with maybe some tweaks from the Senate, mm-hmm. that accomplishes the task of transforming public education to what we all expect it to be and allowing an off-ramp for those parents that believe their needs aren't being met? So I'm getting the wind it up sound. There it is.
Well, I was going to say, folks, the music has started. We're coming up against a hard break because it's news coming up. Here we go.
Who cares about the clouds if we're